This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. We've had 2 days with highs in the 70s, and I saw silks to go with the tassels. That means that some of our corn was pollinating under ideal conditions. Saturday, the temperature forecast pops up to 93 degrees for a high before cooling off again. The high-pressure ridge that has brought us some hot temperatures this July retrograded to the southwest U.S., producing record heat extremes there. Forecasters expected it to come back. Before, they were looking for the ridge to migrate back from the Texas Panhandle to Ohio, not good for the eastern Corn Belt. What changed in their forecast last Friday was that the ridge was supposed to come east but stay in the south, allowing cooler air to push further south, covering more of the Corn Belt. Also important, there is moisture flow north from the Gulf, which was allowing thunderstorms to cross the Corn Belt as overnight. The question is over where they place the ridge. They say that they have low confidence in their models. They're also calling for a hot August. I wonder why, if they have low confidence in what they're forecasting for a week from now, that they think they can forecast a month away. Right now, the forecast changed again so that it's a little hotter, but the Gulf is still open for moisture. This is when rain really makes grain. Iowa State University climatologist Elwin Taylor says that corn roots can go down 11 feet. Each foot holds an inch of moisture, so when subsoil is fully charged, we have 11 inches of water in the ground. We pay for this water and the value of the land. A Texas corn grower told me that he was harvesting 175 to 180 bushel per acre corn with a 40-cent basis premium to Chicago border trade. He said that with the cost of their water with irrigation, that the current price doesn't work. With basis levels of 25 to 48 cents under Chicago, it doesn't work here either. He lamented their basis, saying that it has been a dollar over before and envied our free rain. Even with subsoil moisture reserves, our risk is heat. The corn plant can only pull the water up so fast, and heat extremes can put corn under stress despite good subsoil moisture levels. The current forecast for heat in the Corn Belt doesn't rise to a level triggering alarms. The good news is that China bought 1.762 million metric tons of new crop corn, which along with their previous purchases gets them up to over 3.6 million. There was another smaller reported purchase today. The weekly corn export sales should be outstanding. The bad news is that they're likely done. They also reportedly bought another 3 million metric ton of corn from the Ukraine, which doesn't leave them much room left in remaining TRQ licenses. USDA's forecast that they would buy over 7 million metric tons in total from all sources. I believe that China has some barter deal with Ukraine, paying them in corn for infrastructure investment. Them issuing more TRQ licenses or state purchases of corn would be a friendly surprise for a corn market. The way that Donald J. Trump and Beijing are trading sanctions, that would not look likely. USDA is also regularly announcing daily purchases of soybeans from China, but within the parameters of what is normal for them. Normal is not good enough for a bull market. Despite approval of E15 this year, the EIA forecast a 10.1% blend rate of ethanol going forward, which is unchanged from what it has been. They see unleaded gasoline staying too cheap to support a higher ethanol blending rate. I hope that they are wrong. The lower price of ethanol relative to unleaded gas was the incentive to blend, and they see that spread narrowing. Current values are 3 cents either way. Ethanol used to be 20 cents under unleaded. We have been trading ethanol with Brazil. They sold us 255,000 barrels in March, and we exported a total 2.457 million barrels to Brazil, India, and Mexico in April. On the hogs, cheap pork prices should stimulate export demand from Asian countries with a better COVID-19 pandemic management than we have had. Packers have plants running again, but if the June hog report was right, there are still a lot of hogs out there. I think that there will have been less euthanizing of hogs than was expected at one time because of the way they have recovered kill capacity. That may mean that the large number of hogs will hang over the market longer, capping a price recovery. Weakness in the pork cutout shrank the integrated packer margin back under $10 a head again. That is not enough to cover kill costs, so integrated packers are operating with the mission of killing through the backlog. The standard packer margin is still near $70 a head, so all they are contributing to is their fat checking account. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, contact us at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.